You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. It is time to get up with Dak. Dallas, and the D in Big D stands for Desperate Days, is rushing him to save the season, the biggest mistake they could make. Meanwhile, will anyone who can catch a football please report to Green Bay, Wisconsin? An all-time great quarterback desperately needs your help. And then, the coach of Denver explains the disastrous decision and somehow manages to make it worse. We've got all that and a whole lot more. It's a Wednesday, and we're getting up with you, starting right now. You want to talk about a squad? Take a look at this today. Everybody, Saturday. Kmart is ready to go. Neek, and congratulations on his nuptials. Chris Canty is ready to roll. We've got tons of football coming your way, but we begin with the biggest star in sports. All rise. The judge was at it last night. Yankees, Red Sox, top of six. Yanks down 3-2. But Aaron Judge is a human rally. Here he goes. The other way. That's his 56th. Home run of the year, ties the game at three. But wait, he's just getting started. We're going bottom six now. It's still tied at three. Gerrit Cole doing the pitching for the Yankees. Xander Bogaerts to the plate for Boston. If it's fair, it's gone. It's fair. It's gone. A Red Sox, a 4-3 lead. Cole doesn't like it. Six innings, four earned, 10 strikeouts. Top of eight, same score. Judge at the plate again with the Yankees, down one. Did I mention he's a human comeback? Oh! I mean, he gets all of that, his 57th of the season. By the way, he also leads the majors in RBIs, and he's hitting 310. Yankees serve. Tied at four. Top of 10 now. Judge coming to the plate. Alice Cora says, no, no, no. I've seen that enough. Two batters later, Gleyber Torres, bases loaded, two out. Take a look at this play. Dominique, watch Esteban Florial rounding third.
Athletic Bergen.
Oh, man. And he beats the throw. Torres comes up big. Yanks a 7-4 lead. Can they hold it? Bottom of the inning. Runners on the corners. Rafael Devers at the plate. Wandy Peralta. Oh, it gets away. Connor Wong is going to score from third. Runner goes to second. It's a one-run game. So Peralta needs to get Devers. And he does. Yanks hold on. They win it 7-6. What a thrilling night. Yankees dramatic as they hold on for a win on the road. Judge now has 20 more home runs. Look at this graphic.
Wow.
Aaron Judge has 20 more home runs than anybody else. This is the first time a player has finished a day with that big a lead since Babe Ruth on the last day of the 1928 season. You cannot possibly overstate the season that Aaron Judge is having. We'll talk more about it later. Meanwhile, to the NFL, where after having surgery on his thumb, Dak Prescott will not head to the injured reserve list. His initial recovery timeline was 6 to 8 weeks, but the Cowboys believe he could return as soon as four. And Jerry Jones, as usual, has high hopes for Dak's return.
I have seen it just look hopeless and walk out there and the David slay the giant. I've seen it done. And at the same time, we play, get by us a little time here, catch it up a little bit, get Dak back out there. He's very capable of coming past this injury and having a great season, a great season. I emphasize that. If he didn't have it and we didn't have it, it would be different, but we do.
All right, so Jeff Saturday and Dominique Foxworth have both been in lengthy negotiating sessions with Jerry Jones. That's a speech you've heard before, isn't it?
Listen, this is what I see. I see wrestling. I see Undertaker. Papa, we're back, baby. We're back in action. I mean, we are life support, not clear paddles we're given. Dak is back. There ain't nothing better. There's nothing better than Jerry selling you 1 + 1 = 3, y'all. In my world, I got to be in that, y'all. He is right there. He is motivating this team. And listen, it's a fact. Without Dak, their season is over. He's just selling the hope, and he's doing a good job at it.
All right. In the meantime, Kimberly Martin actually does the reporting. And so the question is, Is it realistic that he could be back on the field? Everything I've seen on our screen, it says 6 to 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. Is it realistic that he's back and within four?
Is it realistic? Yes, because I'm assuming Jerry Jones is not out here trying to be Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman or Dr. Phil.
Why would
Dr.
you assume
Oz.
That?
I'm going to hope that there are trained doctors and professionals talking to Jerry
You're
Jones and giving
like
him this intel. But is it a possibility? Yes. The fear, though, it's his throwing hand. The fear, though, is that this is the franchise. So if he rushes back and something happens, then you have a setback. And that's the fear. I think there is pressure on Dak because, like you said, this season hangs in the balance and it rests on that hand.
You know, we were together, Dominique, you and I, when this news, when Jerry first made those initial comments yesterday, we were all taken aback. Buy it, and you expressed a lot of concern. Now, you've had a chance to sleep on it.
Yeah, you talked about negotiation sessions. One of the things we negotiated for is the right to a second opinion, and I hope Dak gets it.
Yes, second and a third.
Yeah.
Second and a third.
And I hope someone, the fans, I hope that they are not listening or at least not believing what Jerry is saying, because the definition of desperation is making biblical analogies in week one. Like, we are already cracking open the good book. Like, he's going to turn water into wine. He's going to feed 5,000 people, too. Like, I think that would be easier to do. I think Jerry has a better chance of turning water into wine than the Cowboys making some sort of championship run this year.
Look, it is worth reminding everyone, Jerry Jones actually said, 1 and 1 is 3.
Absolutely.
I don't know what kind of new math that is.
Well, that's billionaire. Yeah.
That's correct. When you're a billionaire, math can be whatever you want it to be.
But it's abstract.
Chris, all kidding aside, and it's impossible to do at this table, how are you concerned? How do you see the situation right now?
Well, here's the thing. I don't think Jerry is talking out of school, because we've seen quarterbacks deal with this particular injury in recent years. Mm. Think about last year, Russell Wilson having a thumb injury, having to have surgery, missed 3 games. A couple of years ago, Drew Brees, similar injury, you're talking about him missing 5 games. So that 4-game window, that's right in the range of what we saw those other two quarterbacks deal with. So even though the initial prognosis was 6 to 8 weeks, there is the potential for Dak Prescott to push it. And the one thing we know about Dak is that he's a top competitor. He'll do whatever it takes to get back on the field and try to help this team salvage the season. The only problem that I have with this is, did you see the first 3.5 quarters of that game on Sunday night before Dak Prescott got knocked out?
Yeah.
You're talking about the Dallas Cowboys having, what, 12 first downs? 12?
Yeah.
Nobody had fewer first downs. Yeah. Nobody had fewer points in week one of the National Football League than the Dallas Cowboys team. So, Jerry Jones, congratulations. You played yourself by allowing all of those guys on the offensive side of the ball from last year to leave the building.
Yeah.
Connor Williams, the highest graded Miami Dolphins player this past week.
Yep.
He was playing center for him. You're talking about Lyle Collins, cap casualty with the Cincinnati Bengals, trading Amari Cooper, letting Cedric Wilson ride out.
Yep.
What did you think was going to happen? You were asking Dak Prescott to do more than a quarterback is capable of in terms of being a force multiplier, which is what landed you in this situation right now with your quarterback dealing with the injury after week one.
Chris Canty brought receipts. It's like he's Robert Saleh all of a sudden.
Please don't put me in the same sentence as him. I actually won in New York.
Wow.
At any rate. All right.
Wow.
So that's
write
where
that down,
we begin.
Robert.
We have a lot more to say about Dak, but there is another quarterback who's got entirely different kind of problem, and that is Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. We've seen it. He and the Packers wide receivers very much not in sync Sunday, and that includes, of course, the drop heard around the world on this, the very first offensive play of their season by the rookie Christian Watson. Rodgers was also sacked 4 times in Sunday's loss, more than in any game last year. It was a rough day, and Rodgers had a lot to say about it with Pat McAfee yesterday.
We have to have patience. A lot of these guys have not played a ton of football, and really, it's not something that could have been figured out in training camp or some off-season throwing session. These are live rep things with the pressure of a regular season game, with the pressure of it counting. And that's why I'm not too worried about it. There's a lot of talent on our side of the ball. We just got to execute a little bit better.
All right, so Jerry's telling you one thing. Do you believe him, Chris Canty, when he says he's not too worried about it?
No, I don't believe him. And if you saw the eye roll and the Kanye shrug that he had after the Christian Watson drop, that tells you all you need to know about Aaron Rodgers' confidence level in his young wide receivers. I don't know that he has the temperament to be able to bring these guys along and build them up. in order to the Green Bay Packers to get to where they want to go, because they're going to need those wide receivers to come around at some point if they're going to contend at a championship level. My biggest issue with Aaron Rodgers is, bruh, you the one that created this situation. Because you throwing a tantrum and acting like a toddler when they drafted Jordan Love is what opened the door for Devontae Adams to decide, you know what, I'm better off with Derek Carr rather than staying here with the back-to-back MVP, even though Green Bay offered me more money than the Las Vegas Raiders did. So if Aaron Rodgers is frustrated, the person he should be most frustrated with is himself, because his behavior is what allowed Devontae Adams to walk out of the door. And by the way, did you see how Devontae Adams looked on Sunday?
Yes. I think he's the best non-quarterback playing football in the entire NFL. That wasn't English, but I think you understand what I'm trying to say. You played with Roger.
Yeah.
Does he have the temperament to – it's Romeo Doubs and Christian Watson. They're going to need these guys.
Yeah.
Does he have the temperament to bring them along?
He does, but I will tell you it's not patience. And everybody who thinks it's patience, show me a patient quarterback, I'll show you a mediocre quarterback. Mm. That's facts. Like, all the great ones, they don't got patience, bro. It's win now. Development happens in the offseason. We're gonna get this thing done. Week to week, we have to show progress, and you better be getting better. And listen, Devontae Adams is gone, bro. We can think about what could have been, should have been, whatever that looks like. Right now, he knows what is required of his receivers in the building. That means catch the ball. That means be in the right spot. And again, what he's talking about, that development, some of those things will come. There's some that has to be now. And it's your job description. Catch the touchdown when it hits you in the hands, right? If you're in a play, make the play that's there to be made. All of those things matter to him, and he's 100% right. We can talk about OTAs, all that kind of stuff. Man, when you go into a game, it's completely different. So if you're patient, you're losing. That's just a fact. I'm just telling you, no great one. Ask Tom Brady, or ask any receiver play, how patient Tom Brady.
Well, you played with Manning.
Peyton Manning.
How was Peyton with
good,
all that?
Man, watch him in games. Watch a dude run the wrong route. He almost ripped his pants. He's like flicking his knee pad. You know, he's freaking twitching, you know. Aaron does the eye roll, but they all got something, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the great ones drive you to be better than even you think you can be. And that's Aaron Rodgers' job to his routine. Make them better than even they think they
can
be.
That is fine. That's all well and fine. MJ did it. MJ, he was a jerk with his teammates. I get it. But Aaron Rodgers, to Chris's point, is the reason that Devontae Adams is
okay, but hold on a second.
No.
That is fair.
Fair. Here's the thing. The Green Bay Packers said, you know what? We'll just sit and we'll just wait for Aaron to tell us what he's going to do. We'll just sit. Yeah,
sure.
Devontae wants some money. Yeah, but no, we're just waiting on Aaron. No, Aaron will tell us at some point. And all that waiting, all that uncertainty, now other pieces on the chessboard have to move. Devontae moved on, right?
Yep.
So Aaron Rodgers wasn't there in the offseason, wasn't there. You say, oh, forget about OTAs. All right, you got new young receivers. Like, what did you expect? The Green Bay Packers put themselves in this position.
So that's the point. Here's what
I expect them to be able to catch.
But here's the thing. Christian Watson, if you look at the scouting report, there was mention of concentration drops. He had more drops than he had.
And so is Aaron Rodgers going to teach him how to concentrate?
But here's the thing. They went out and drafted him. So clearly, you trust your scouting. You think this kid is going to be good. But at the same time, this organization put themselves in this position, so it has no choice
but
to be patient.
That's fair. But the one place that I'll agree, while I agree with what you're saying, it also is water under the bridge at this point. That can't be undone. So the question is, can he make it work? Can even the great Rodgers, are they going to get Lazard back in the tackles? Can he still have this team in Super Bowl contention? Because that's all that matters for him and them.
I absolutely think that he can. And I think that he's going to be relying on the defense living up to the talent that they have over there. Sometimes teams change. This is no longer going to be an Aaron Rodgers score 80 points a game type of team.
Right.
They're going to have to play better defense and trust that Aaron Rodgers can come through in the clutch, which he absolutely can. Yeah. And I know that we don't have time for this. I'll fight with you two in the commercials. But it is categorically unfair. You blame this roster construction on Aaron Rodgers. He has power and leverage, and he used it, and nothing's wrong with that. If he don't want to show up to extra stuff, he don't have to show up. You get paid to do your job, you do your job. You want to do extra stuff? Do extra stuff. Stop coming on here yelling about Aaron Rodgers need to do more than everybody else. It's just not fair.
Okay, hold that. We're definitely not doing that in the commercial.
Yeah, we got to get back to
I can tell you
ain't
right
no
now.
Way,
I'm
no
going
way.
To a commercial now. I'm
you know
not letting
I'm
that conversation
like right
yeah, we're going to get. We're going to go on that one as we continue. In the meantime, he should have let Russ cook. A mea culpa from the coach of the Broncos that somehow made it worse. Wait until you hear this. Plus, Patrick Mahomes on fire in week one without Tyreek Hill. You'll hear the big adjustment that should put everyone on notice. It's Spirited Today. A Wednesday, get up, and we're back in just a moment.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Get Up is brought to you by Verizon 5G from the network more people rely on. And we rely on Kimberly Martin with the hurry up on a busy day in the NFL. Lots of news. What's going on with TJ Watt?
Brady, with one tweet, TJ Watt, everybody breathed a sigh of relief when he tweeted that I'll be back. TJ Watt actually... Everybody thought that he was going to have to be on injured reserve for it, definitely. But he doesn't need surgery on that torn pec, and there's a good chance that he could come back sooner than later. So that is good for the Steelers. Moving on.
Keenan Allen
actually didn't get great news. Brandon Staley, their head coach, said that he actually isn't looking good for Thursday. He hasn't officially been ruled out, but it's not looking great for Keenan Allen with that hamstring. They have a short week. They're playing at Arrowhead, so this is not good news for the Chargers. Look at the way he's pulling. Ugh. Now, speaking of the Chiefs, good news for Patrick Mahomes. Did you think that he was hurt? Because he threw 5 touchdowns, and really it didn't look like he was missing a beat. But he hurt his left wrist on the first of 5 touchdown throws. But Andy Reid said his QB is full go for Thursday, so... As expected, Mahomes, he's money.
Yeah, his version of full go is a lot fuller than most other people's. And so, look, I said multiple times over the last month that what I was most interested in seeing this season was what the Kansas City offense was going to look like. And so far, so ridiculously good. Dominique, I remember on this show you said many times, like, the thought of trying to cover Tyreek Hill kept you up at night, even now, all these years later. Is it possible that they are even scarier if you're playing them this week?
Yeah.
Having seen what you just saw, are you even more nervous than you were when Hill was there?
So if Tyreek Hill's not there, I'm not as scared. But I got to be honest with you. I'm more scared of playing against Patrick Mahomes and these receivers than I am against Tua and Tyreek Hill.
Huh.
Because as explosive and dynamic as Tyreek Hill is, when you're playing cornerback, you can have the best coverage ever. If the quarterback can put it in a special spot, or if he can buy time, it doesn't matter who you're playing against. I mean, Jeff might be able to put up 150 on me if Patrick Mahomes is throwing it. So I would rather go up against Tyreek Hill against a mediocre quarterback than cover some mediocre receivers with Patrick Mahomes throwing the football.
There was a lot of conversation about whether he would be playing within an offense more than he has through his career to this point. Did you see that Sunday?
Oh, absolutely. And all you got to look at is the average snap to throw time from Pat Mahomes, right? Last year, they had a snap to throw time average of 2.83 seconds, which was good for 24th in the NFL. This game in week one, average snap to throw time was 2.55 seconds. That was seventh in the National Football League. So this dude is hitting his back foot, going through his progression, and getting the ball out to the right guy. And this is the scary part about what Pat Mahomes is doing now. He's trusting the play design from Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy. And you're not going to find a better tandem when it comes to play calling, design, and sequencing than those two. So if Pat Mahomes is using the weapons that they put around him and spraying the ball around the field to his receivers, this is going to be a tough offense to stop. Listen, 9 different receivers caught passes from Pat Mahomes on Sunday. 6 of those guys had 3 catches or more. This is a really dangerous outfit.
Jeff, is it possible that what I'm hearing people saying is that Patrick Mahomes has another level to which he can take this, and he may be on the verge of doing it?
Absolutely. And listen, the way that he played, they tried to bring pressure, he made them hurt. They tried to sit back, he made them hurt. And to Chris's point, he's taking what the defense is giving him. And when a quarterback finds his rhythm in doing that, it's almost impossible for a defense to stop him, right? Because he's not afraid to check it down and let his receiver go do something. And there's a saying in football, right? Protection beats coverage every time. If you can protect for Patrick Mahomes, he's going to pick you apart. It doesn't matter. The great ones, that's what they're going to do. And so the way that the Chiefs reconstructed their offensive line and the way they've continued to develop that offensive line with Heck being their offensive line coach, it gives him the confidence to stand in the pocket, because we've seen the only time he really looked mortal was against Tampa Bay when his offensive line looked horrific, right? And then everybody's like, wow, this is what it looks like.
He looked immortal in that one, too.
Yeah.
He was
throwing
side around. On throws, bouncing off people's chest.
You're 100% right. Yeah, you're not point taken. But this guy is right. Next level, so if he's patient and allowing things to come to him, hold my word.
He's talking about the Super Bowl when everybody was hurt, and they carried him off on his shield after that performance.
Yeah. Yes.
But the point is well taken. What did you hear from people you talked to about what that offense looked like on Sunday?
Do you remember all last year, we were sitting here on all our shows and people were like, oh, Chiefs are done. Chiefs are done. And then what do you know? They're not done. Around the league, nobody thinks that Patrick Mahomes is not arguably the best player in the NFL right now. And when you talk to DBs, when you talk to defensive coordinators, every week they talk about how you never know when the play is over. Like, if you're a DB, like, you are just running around hoping that your line can get to, like, you guys can get to him, because his receivers know that the play is never over, and he's just that spectacular.
I mean, if there was a moment in time when we were asking, is Patrick Mahomes the greatest quarterback of all time? And now we're asking, can he get much better than he has been? That should be scary for everybody. Speaking of scary, did you see this? Meanwhile on Planet Earth is brought to you by Whole Foods Market. The Browns released a hype video for their new midfield logo, and it stars Brownie the Elf.
Look at that. You know what? Between Jacoby Brissett, the puppies at training camp, and this elf, the Browns are just trying to be the most lovable organization right now.
This was their original logo, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So the Browns literally had an elf on the shelf and decided
to bring it back. Yep.
I see you.
Wow. Neek. Incredible.
Neek, say, what are we doing here?
I don't know.
It's an elf.
They trying to roll Mary and Motley back out. I don't know what they're trying to do, but it ain't going to work. They trying to misdirect them.
This is their classic misdirection right now.
That's the angry elf. That's the angry elf right here.
They waited until Baker Mayfield left before they put him on the middle of the field.
Wow. See? Y'all are just...
Chanty Tooth. Yeah. That is on fire. He's on fire right now.
He got married.
Honeymoon. He's fresh, baby.
We are rolling. Coming up, Tampa Tom feeling sore, talking about commitment. It's only week 2. Is this about to be a very long season for Brady and the Bucks? Plus, is Alabama no longer a lock for the playoff? Heather and Paul are here. They disagree on the answer. Don't miss it next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase.
Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We are back on Get Up. We are through week one in the NFL, so let's take a look at some notable matchups ahead of week two. Neek, Chargers, Chiefs, tomorrow night. What are you looking for?
I mean, everything. It's going to be an awesome game, but most intriguing part of this is going to be this new-look Chiefs offense against an actual good defense in San Diego. They turned the ball over a bunch of times against the Raiders, and I'd like to see Patrick Mahomes attempt to repeat what he did in week one against a team that has pass rushers, has corners, has safeties. It's going to be a much different or much more difficult thing for them to attempt, but I think they're up to the challenge.
It's a great game tomorrow night. Kmart, you've got Dolphins, Ravens Sunday. Yeah. What are we watching?
This is where I'll be. I just want to know if the Ravens are going to come out of this game healthy. Ronnie Stanley didn't play in week one, so his replacement, Juwan James, he played. He tore his Achilles, right? Yes. Then Kyle Fuller, he's replacing Marcus Peters, who didn't play. Kyle Fuller ends up injured, and he's done for the year. So I just need the Ravens to come out of this game fully healthy. We don't know about J.K. Dobbins. We don't know if Marcus Peters is going to play. And against this Dolphins team, that's a tough task.
Another year of injuries. Canty, Vikings, Eagles, Monday. What are we watching?
I'm waiting for the Eagles defensive line to show up to the party. They let the
Bring
line
it.
Hang 35 points on them. And DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams ran for a 180 on 28 carries. Only one sack, 3 quarterback hits. Yeah, the Lions were getting the ball out quickly. But let me tell you something. If they don't have more production on that defensive line, you could be talking about Justin Jefferson and Dalvin Cook having another big day.
And then, Jeff, we've got Bucks, Saints, a big one Sunday. What are you watching?
Oh, Saints pass rush on Brady. Listen, revamped offensive line. They already get after Brady. After week one, he's talking about the bumps and bruises on his podcast. They flat out torture him. Look at the sacks right here. You got most turnovers and sacks taken in a game. Look at him. Saints. Mm-hmm. That's what they do. 4 times in 2 years. This thing could get ugly in a hurry, but I am excited to see how Brady and this Bucs offense will adjust to it. Will they run it more? Will they establish those things they did against Dallas? Or will they go back to, you know, run and gun type offense?
Well, let's touch on it. You just touched on it. Let's hear it. So Brady on his podcast, Let's Go, shed some light on his struggles beginning his 23rd season. Listen to what he said.
What am I dealing with now? I woke up today going, holy shit, that was a, you know, there was a few hits. And you know, you look at your arm and you got bruises, you got cuts, and you got, you know, the way it is. And you go, okay, how much longer do I want to make this commitment? And I obviously made the commitment for this year, and everything's going to be, you know, like always, continue to evaluate, you know, all these different aspects of playing.
Wow. That's week one.
Yep.
I commend him for the honesty, you know, but if he's, you know, you're my relationship specialist here. What did that sound like to you?
He sounds like he's a man who's trying to process where he is. He sounds like he wants to divorce the game.
Whoa.
And can't let it go. Like he almost, you could feel the feet or like 1 foot out the door. Like you always knew he's 45. Okay, so at some point he's going to be done. But he just sounds like a guy who's really, when he's on the field, he's focused. But when, like, it's week one and we're already counting the bruises and the lumps.
He's been in control since he left New England, very much in control of what he puts out in the media. So maybe I'm just a skeptical guy, but it's his podcast. He wants us to talk about this. I can't imagine that. I know they say once you start talking about retirement, you're already retired. He actually retired and came back, and now he's talking about retirement. He can't be foolish enough, I don't think, to give us this ammunition unless he wants us to have it. He might throw for 500 yards this week. Yeah. He's just trying to give us a storyline. And I would like to thank him for that. So, yes, Tom Brady, he's done. He's spent. He's mentally checked out.
He got somebody filming. All behind the scenes, he'll be ready to release it. Right? As soon as it is, he'll have a whole new show. Watch his documentary. Come check me out. And then, TB12 method at 45. Look at me after week one. Week two, I'm back again.
he's going to sell like
control us a little bit,
300 pair of underwear off the strip of him doing that. Well done, Tom Brady. Hell of a businessman.
All right, so I'll be the gullible one who says that he's going through a lot of stuff in his life, and I think this is a person who is actually in a very introspective place. And I think this is genuinely what he's thinking. He woke up thinking, man, I know I made this commitment and I'm in, but boy, this was not an easy decision. And it's not, you guys all know better than Kimberly and I do. Not easy to be a football player. And with all the stuff he's got going on in his life right now, I actually think he might just be telling you how he feels.
No, this is legit, Greeny. Yeah. And I remember how hard it was for me to get physically prepared when I was 33. I can't imagine what it feels like at age 45. I mean, I used to have to get to the stadium 5 hours before kickoff just to get my body properly warmed up. Yeah. All of the different things that you have to do throughout the course of the week, that takes up a lot of your time, that takes up a lot of your energy, and you don't have it to give to other things, i.e. your family or other personal interests. And I think that's Tom Brady in his own way grappling with that reality, and he's being fully transparent. I don't think this is him wavering on his commitment to his teammates.
No. Mm-hmm.
And if anybody can buck that adage, that if you're thinking about retiring, you are retired, it would be the greatest football player of all time. I think this is Tom Brady just being fully transparent.
I think what it's showing people is how different people can be off the field than on the field. I will tell you, when Tom Brady walks in the building in Tampa, it is laser focused. There are blinders, and everybody around him sits up taller, understands the accountability that's going to be asked for and what he is going to bring to the table. Whether he's wavering off the field, this dude does not waver on the field. And I'm telling you, one is not going to bleed into the other. He can keep it all out.
It's all foolishness. Tom Brady just selling drawers and stuff like that right now. Well done, Tom Brady. Well done.
Okay, everybody hold that thought. We have so much more on the NFL to do, but can't overlook the college football, which continues to roll along. We got Paul and Heather ready to go. Let's play a game of fact or fiction. Hey, Paul Feinbaum, if I were to say Michigan and Ohio State might both make the playoff, would that be fact or fiction?
Can I call you an idiot? No, it's fiction, Greeny. I really like Ohio State still. And I know Michigan has beaten up on a bunch of nobodies and they look good and they've settled the quarterback situation. It's fiction, though.
All right, we're going to get back to that one. Meanwhile, Heather, if I were to say USC and Lincoln Riley, that's a legit playoff contender. Is that fact or fiction?
Right now, Greeny, I say it's fact. I have them at number 4 almost by default. But the truth is we're going to find out the answer in mid-October when they play Utah. They should be undefeated heading into that game. ESPN's FPI gives Utah a slight edge right now.
All right, and then, Paul, I'm looking forward to this one. If I were to say Alabama is not a lock to make the playoff, would that be fact or fiction?
That's still fiction in my book. I know what happened over the weekend. I know what's happened since. But I still think Alabama is one of the two best teams in the country in spite of everything, Greeny.
Well, let's dive into that one a minute here in case anyone didn't see it. Alabama just squeaked away with a 1-point win over Texas last weekend. The one area, so my initial inclinations seeing that might be to say, well, boy, they sure looked human. But Heather, maybe the difference between them and so many others, a lot of big teams got upset. And Saban's team still, on a day where they did not have their A game or anything approaching it, still found a way to win. Are they a lock for the playoff in your mind, Heather?
I'm not going to say they're at a lock because we're going to go to the offensive line where Bryce Young was sacked twice. Their run blocking was not good. The false starts were all over the place. And then you look at the wide receivers, unable to get separation. When you look at Bryce Young and his passes, a bulk of them didn't go to the wide receivers. They've got to get those things cleaned up. I'm confident they will clean up 15 penalties, which was absolutely ridiculous. Down the road, if they don't clean those up, though, you're talking about potential upsets on the road against LSU, Tennessee. They've got to play Arkansas, which looks really good, Mississippi Mississippi State. So are they one of the top four teams in the country? Yes, I have them number three right now. And the selection committee down the road is going to reward them for that road win against a Power Five team. And it could be even more valuable if Texas goes on to contend for the Big 12 and win it. But as of right now, they got to clean it up before I say they're a lock.
Paul, Nick Saban loved it, didn't he? Down deep inside, coming out of that with a win and looking as bad as he did, no rat poison allowed. He loved that game in retrospect, didn't he?
And remember, we saw this movie last year, Greeny. They went four overtimes against a really average Auburn team. They came back the next week and beat Georgia in the SEC championship game. The biggest issue at Alabama, in spite of everything Heather said, is there seems to be a narrowing of talent that we didn't see years ago that we are seeing now. It may not derail them this year, but watch out down the road.
Well, let me ask you about another, and that's your old buddy Jimbo Fisher down there. He's one who did lose a game, right? I mean, that's the difference. Saban on a bad day wins a game. Jimbo Fisher loses a bad game. Congratulations to App State, wonderful win, all of that. But is Jimbo Fisher now in win, must-win mode? Who's he got this week? He's got Miami this week. That's right. Is he in must-win mode already, Paul?
He is in must-win mode now. Greeny, let me parse my words here for a second. He's not getting fired. The reason, it would cost $90 million to get rid of him right now. But he is in trouble in terms of perception. He's got a worse record than the person they fired to make room for him, Kevin Sumlin. His record at A&M outside of the COVID year is pretty mediocre. And a lot of people are beginning to wonder if Florida State wasn't a fluke. This is a critical game this week. And after that, it actually gets more difficult with Arkansas and Alabama and Mississippi State and everyone else in the SEC.
Everyone over the other side of the room, I think, almost had a breakdown when you said that the buyout was $90 million.
Going into coaching.
They was about lost their mind. All right, Heather, one more for you. Notre Dame, the opening week they lose at Ohio State. We were talking about how that felt like a pretty good loss. Now they lose to Marshall. What do we say about their postseason hopes?
Greeny, I can't get that stupid song out of my head. Bye, bye, bye. I mean, that's it. It's done. And it's been playing on my head in a loop since Saturday night. And look, now, I do not write teams out of the college football playoff. They do it to themselves, and Notre Dame did it. And Tyler Buchner, their quarterback, got injured. They have to find some answers on offense quickly. But the conversation about Notre Dame now turns to how do they impact other playoff contenders on their resume? And by that, I mean USC, Clemson, Ohio State. If Ohio State doesn't win the Big Ten, that game could come under the microscope if Notre Dame tanks.
Paul, were you a bigger fan of NSYNC or the Backstreet Boys?
I didn't really like either one of them, Greeny. But I have to say one more thing. I'm fining you $1,000 for the dumbest question of the year to even ask Heather if Notre Dame is still possibly in the playoff race. Please. You can get any boy band you want, but you're not going to absolve yourself of that question.
New edition, ready to go. And we got great college football coming your way this weekend. You're going to see the number one team in the country. It's not Alabama. It's not Ohio State. It's Georgia taking on South Carolina. Then you got Brian Kelly and LSU taking on Mississippi State. And then, as mentioned, Miami and Texas A&M is the nightcap. All three games also available on the ESPN app. Back to the NFL next. The coach of the Broncos explains the disastrous decision and somehow manages to make it worse. Don't miss this next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, back on Get Up here. And Jeff, Saturday is what a fundamentalist for us today. We've talked a lot about the best this, the best that.
Yeah.
Jeff is, by nature, a negative person. And so... You are focusing on the five worst things you saw in week one. Take it away.
Bill Belichick, Mike McDaniel handshake. Y'all, McDaniel wins his first game. I don't know how many, 400 wins or whatever for Belichick. And this handshake, I mean, this guy's probably looked up to Bill his whole life. Look at this. Nope. I mean, not even that. Hey, man, congratulations. Heck of a job, man. I know you worked your tail off. Nothing, bro. Nothing. Maybe he's going to send him a letter afterwards to say, hey, congratulations. But you beat the GOAT head coach. It's your first ever game. That's all you get. Like, the disappointment. You just see it. Look at Mike. Turns around. His heart's broken. Mm-hmm. I mean, just absolute pain. Going to go. I live in Atlanta, y'all. So I've watched some Falcon meltdowns. We had another one on Sunday. 16-point fourth quarter loss to the Saints. All right, if you live in Atlanta, you know how much Falcon fans hate Saint fans and vice versa. I had to fly on Sunday, and the airport was loaded with Saints fans cheering. Had a couple cocktails, obviously. They were all fired up. But the brutality of watching another meltdown for the Falcons, they had this game won, somehow found a way to lose it. It was brutal for me being a Falcon fan, so feel my pain there. Number three, Joe Burrow start. Whew. Then listen, Burrow, MVP candidate, all the things implied, takes the Bengals to the Super Bowl last year. Absolutely insane. He started awful. Greeny, he was reading the football field like you would read it. Like, with your glasses pulled down, trying to look over the top. He ain't going to find it. It was awful. He's getting sacked. He's getting smacked around. But then it got worse. Then you went to the long snapper. So, as he got hot, the Bengals couldn't find a way to stay hot because their long snapper, who matter, please see this, Minkah Fitzpatrick basically walks back there to block the extra point so that the Bengals don't win. It can't get any more bungled than that. I mean, the pain of Burrow starting slow and then your long snapper costing the game, and it's not his fault. Look, I would never want to be the long snapper in that situation. I could do it, but you are praying to God that you don't have to be that guy. It is a very difficult job. God bless him. And then the final, and we've all talked about this, and the decision to kick a 64-yard field goal, y'all. A minute left with a quarter of a billion-dollar quarterback on a 4th-and-5, 3 timeouts, a minute. All the things, it pains me. That was the worst. I'm going to give a small pass because he did apologize yesterday. So I'm a man who forgives quickly, and I'm going to try to forget it. But I couldn't forget that.
Hold on. Now, I know that you are genuinely, a down deep inside, a wonderful human being, so you are inclined to accept an apology.
Yes.
But does that count when an apology makes the problem much, much worse? I want you to judge for yourself. You saw how that game ended the other night. Nathaniel Hackett apologized yesterday, and candidly, I'm sorry, what? I think he made it worse. Listen.
You know, looking back at it, we definitely should have gone for it. Just not, you know, one of those things. You look back at it and you say, of course we should go for it. We missed the field goal. But in that situation, we had a plan. I mean, we had a plan. We knew that the 46 was the mark. And we got there and it didn't work. It sucks. But, hey, that's part of it.
What the hell is he talking about? The 46 is the plan. That's like the break glass plan if we get to the 46. Not with a minute and 3 timeouts left. Dominique, that just made it way worse. If that was your plan, get to the 46.
Right.
Let's set up a 64-yard field goal and then run the clock out from there. That's a terrible plan.
Yeah, it's like he went out there to do tightrope walking and just jumped off. It's like, I want to land in the net. Like, he didn't even try to do the amazing fourth quarter comeback win. He just dove off into the net because that's what you're saying. The 46 or the 64-yard field goal is the net. That's like, just in case things don't work, maybe this will save our lives. So it was an awful plan, and you're right. It did make it a little worse that he said we had a plan, and the plan was a
right.
bad one.
First he said, yeah, of course, in retrospect, I would go for it because the kick didn't go in. No, that's not what we're saying. This is not looking back. It's not confirmation bias.
Right.
And then he said, well, the plan was to get to the 46-yard line. What do you think of that plan, Chris Canty?
Yeah, choosing to kick a 64-yard field goal rather than go for it on a 4th-and-5 is a choice, just like choosing to go by Nathaniel and not Nate is a choice. We don't necessarily agree with it.
Wow! You know,
but it's a choice. But it's a choice, right?
And
here's the thing that bothers me about this whole situation, Greedy. Since 1961, kickers that have attempted 64-yard field goals or longer are 2-41. Conversely, last year, teams that try to go for it on 4th-and-5 convert 48% of the time. And then, to take it a step further, Brandon McManus has not made a field goal longer than 55 yards in the past 6 years that has not been at Mile High or indoors. So if you have all of that information, what is that telling you? Trust a quarter of a billion-dollar quarterback to see if you can convert in that situation.
Mary
and if you're unsure about your decision,
wow.
You got three timeouts.
That's
burn
it.
One of them.
That's the
and
worst
part.
Try
to make up your mind on what you want to do.
See,
but a plan that can't change is a bad plan.
Here's what bothers me. I actually wish he hadn't apologized. I wish he would have come up there and been like, you know what I said, and that's still the right move. Because at least I'd be like, okay, he's delusional, fine. But now he's apologizing for something that we could see like clear as day, Monday night. We all collectively saw it. And I actually texted a GM and asked him, if your head coach had Hacketed, right? What would you have said to him behind the scenes, after the game, in the building? And he literally wrote back to me, LOL. My guy knows not to do stuff like that. We actually talk about game management here. We stress that. And this is the problem with a lot of games, because coaches mismanage, and that's how you end up with losses.
I got two things. The first, thank God I'm not Stacey Greenberg married to Greeny, because obviously an apology means nothing to him.
He's just going to salt
the wound.
He didn't apologize.
Yeah.
Okay. You didn't apologize.
He didn't.
A proper apology is if you acknowledge what you did wrong.
I should have given the ball
he
to
He said rest. It didn't work.
It didn't work, like saying,
you caught me cheating, so I'm sorry, but I'm still okay with the process.
Yes.
That's all not right. A true apology.
Okay.
If you say, I'm sorry that you caught me cheating, that's not a good
I'm with you. All right. That being said, Hackett's role as an offensive coordinator, which he has never been, and a head coach, which he has never been, your first game ever, this thing came at him fast. Uh-huh. And so I think in the locker room, this bodes well for him saying, hey, look, I blew it. It's going to be better next time. He'll go through the details with his team. He's not going to do that at a press conference.
But I am telling you,
when he walks into that room, it builds credibility that he said, I won't do it again that way. Because it was his first time trying to do two things. And I know we all joke on this thing. It comes at you extremely quickly. And he did in his head, he had that plan. But to you now, it's like, my God, the 46, that is the break glass. And it should have been. But for him at the moment, the minute they got there, he'll learn from it.
He'll learn from it and get better.
Yeah. So just trying to bring reason to the
That's
mob.
Fair enough. But
it's hard.
What was the reason?
In his head, listen, when you have your plays in, you say, I'm going to get there, and he felt like he got there, he's like, all right, mission
That's fair. But in that division, you can't give
you
away
can't,
wins.
No,
you.
I'm
going to
give away
lost.
Wins.
Again,
and they
he
just
changed.
Did.
He apologized.
All right. Earlier this morning, we got into a heated discussion about Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. I promised you we'd bring it back. We have cleared the decks. Coming up next, you will hear this group discuss whether Aaron Rodgers is or is not at fault for the position he finds himself in today. Don't miss it.